What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
At Kroger, we know the minute a tomato is picked off the vine, the fresh timer starts. The sooner we get our produce to you, the fresher it is. That's why we've completely overhauled our process to shorten the time from harvest to home for our tomatoes, strawberries, and salads. Because we know how much you love fresh produce, we give you more time to enjoy your tasty fruits and veggies at home. So whether you're shopping in-store, picking up, or prefer delivery, we're committed to bringing you the freshest produce possible. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Forever Dog.
So the reality is we skipped next Friday, right? We didn't review that on the podcast.
Have we skipped the next Friday?
We did. I feel like I asked if we did it.
We've done next Friday.
I don't remember now. That's sort of like how we did Sister Act 2 before we did Sister Act.
Did we really?
I don't quite remember.
Well, of course, because we grew up with Sister Act 2. I mean, yeah. We had to.
Yeah.
Come on now.
I think Naomi was on and was like, I want to do Sister Act 2. And we hadn't done Sister Act 2.
Come on, joyful. Look,
I feel like that's how it went. But I don't remember. I don't remember.
I don't think we did next Friday. I'm almost positive.
No
we
way.
Did
Friday.
All right, well, let's quickly talk about next Friday right now in the cold
Listen,
open.
I'm waiting for, what is it, last Friday. They've been trying to make that last movie for like years, decades now.
I recently tweeted that they got to do Friday the 13th, and it's just like a horror
version. That's fire. Friday the 13th. That's so
apparently
smart.
Jason is owned by, they have the same, it's either they're both New Line or they have the same parent company. So they could, you know, they don't got to even do much work to make that happen. they can just put Jason in. He's just in the hood going around.
That is funny. It's like, it'd be like Leprechaun in the Hood, which is actually a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
Like, Leprechaun, then he got too hood after that. He had like gold teeth and shit. I was like, okay.
We reviewed Leprechaun in the Hood, didn't we?
I don't think we've ever done Leprechaun in the Hood.
Wait, is the lead of Leprechaun in the Hood not...
Well,
the
leprechaun?
Or like a white girl who trips and ends up in the hood. I don't remember that movie. It's been so long since I've seen it.
I feel like black people are...
Ice-T is the lead of Leprechaun.
Yeah, okay. All right, cool. We got to do that. We got to do that next Halloween. We probably haven't done it yet.
What the heck?
Black man can't... Nope, we haven't done it.
That's crazy.
What have we been doing? Sincerely, what have we been doing?
We've done Halloween for 6 years and we haven't done Leprechaun in the Hood?
And every
That's
year
so
we go,
crazy.
What movie are we going to do? This year we did 12 horror movies
this year for Halloween.
We still haven't done.
Also, I'm watching the trailer for Leprechaun in the Hood. And you know what the freeze frame is for the trailer? It's Leprechaun smoking a J. That's how we know this is a different Leprechaun, baby.
That is so...
He different.
Keep kicking that can down the road. Like, we'll do it next Friday. It's like, no, we'll do it Friday after next. You know, when we talk about
rude.
Whether or not we'll do
that
it.
Was just rude. That was rude. I get it, but I don't know how I feel about it. You know what I mean?
You know, it's like, let's record it this Friday. It's like, no, let's record it next Friday. It's like, no, let's record it Friday after next.
Here's my thing. You're technically saying the names of both sequels.
What? Ooh.
So are we going to talk about both movies right
Yeah, I'm confused, Ray.
I'll talk about
Friday
both movies right now.
Next?
I feel like that's what you...
Well, I'm wondering
like
when we're
going to
record Leprechaun in the Hood. Is it going to be next Friday or is it going to be Friday after next?
Yeah, so James, I think we're talking about next Friday. That's what this episode is.
Cool.
Next Friday. I think we should do Friday.
And then after that, we
after go. Next Friday.
The thing is, I don't know where you are in James' boxes, but I feel like he's staring at you the same way I was staring at you. So now,
All right, let's start the show.
Jonathan Braylock,
James the Third,
Drum Milligan.
What more can I say?
You know what it is.
Black men can jump.
Black actors, man.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
Well, have you ever heard of the Nutcracker? Okay, wait, one more. Let me just check my palm, pilot. Looks like I ain't doing shit. This
one. He checks his hand.
I worked at a movie theater when this movie came out, and I have had that line in my head for you. I was doing a theater walk, and I heard him say that line, and I've been laughing at that line for years, and I didn't see this movie until like 2 years ago. It was the first time I saw it.
It's funny because there's always these moments when you look at a Friday movie and like there's always one character that stands out. So remember, like, we are not in jail. And it's just like him just squirming on the ground. He's so. I think this is the first time I saw Terry Crews, I think.
Terry Crews was in Mad. Hold on. Let's see.
He was doing a lot of bit parts.
Yeah, he's like, he doesn't even say a line in Terminator Salvation. They pan over and he's dead.
You're like, Terminator Salvation?
Oh, I didn't know he was in that. I know he was in that.
He was doing stuff by then. Yeah.
That's why it's weird that he doesn't speak in Terminator Salvation, because by then you knew who he was. But let me see.
Because wasn't he a football player or something? No, you know what it was? It was mm-hmm. Training Day he was in. He was in Training Day, and he barely had anything.
Yes, he was. Yeah, but he was like one of the
This
the
was his fourth movie. He did The Sixth Day. He was in Training Day, but not even a cameo, because just nobody knew who he was. Yeah. And then Serving Sarah, which is a movie
What is that? Let me click on that.
Okay.
Oh, Matthew Perry. Sixth Day, he had a name.
Hurley, I mean.
Vincent.
Reggie Hutland directed this? Reggie, you directed that?
Wait a minute. Wow, I saw Serving Sarah and I don't remember anything. All I remember is him like throwing a letter into somebody's like door, because like it made like somebody who serves papers that job seem like the most dangerous, crazy job where everybody runs and you have to like I was just like, this can't be how it works.
It's so funny because I was listening to the Will Smith book, and he talks about like what happens. You get served papers, and how like no matter, even if you expect it, you don't want it, because it is when they approach you about it, because they always try to trick you. Right. And it's like, I think someone got him on set on Valentine's Day or some shit like that, and he was like, God damn it, it's Valentine's Day.
That's what that movie was about. That apparently Terry Crews was in.
Oh wow. I remember seeing this in theaters. I think I worked at a theater too, and I would sneak my boys in. Haha, you can't say shit because it's too late. I used to sneak my boys in to see it, and we would just watch this movie on like repeat. Like this and Signs, I think, came out at the same time, which is random.
Yeah.
But those are the two movies.
Couldn't be more different.
I know.
For those of you who are listening for the first time, this voice that sounds like the opposite of a pimp. You know, like just an upstanding citizen, one who treats women with respect,
like a snitch.
And care. You know,
yeah, that's a snitch. That's not like a snitch.
The non-toxic. That voice is Jonathan Braylock.
Gerard trolling Brick.
Gerard
just trolling Braid during his whole
like a snitch. treats women with respect.
Pimp, you know?
Yeah, that's a snitch.
He ain't a pimp.
Yeah, that's.
Oh, that's not what I meant. That's not it. Oh man, listen. This voice is Gerard Milligan,
and this voice.
Listen, it would probably get annoying, like a full hour and a half of my impression of Cat Williams.
We know what's happening. We know what's coming. Like, I think we've all been prepped.
I feel like his actual speaking voice, when he's just talking, you're like, oh, that's, you can listen to it. My impression is in the register of
performance. In the next movie, we get his actual speaking voice. In this movie,
yeah, we
do
just
not.
And I don't like it. I don't like it.
And it's higher than in this. It's higher than his like comedian persona. He's like way up. And he's like, oh, I'm a pit. It's like, what is
it? It sounds very much I like feel Boondocks. Like
it hurts me looking at him.
Pip
do that,
down.
You know?
Pip down. Is like,
I'm a pimp 32-11. Back. Say it with me now.
Yeah, oh, that's right. He does.
It's not Slickback. It's a pimp named Slickback. You say the whole thing. Say it with me now.
That shit. Oh, man. I'm sorry. Cat Williams is good, man. That's what you think about when he was on Atlanta and he was like, and he has the gator, and at the end of the episode, he just takes off running down the street. But what makes me laugh about it is that that is a person running as fast as they can. It's not an actor run. My man is running in a robe and flip-flops. Wait, he won an award for that, too, didn't he?
Well, I think he got nominated.
He did. He got an Emmy.
I don't think he won the award.
Oh, he didn't? He didn't win? Are we sure?
I mean, I'm pretty sure.
Anyway, so this film. Sorry, we didn't even say what we were doing. This is a.
I didn't introduce myself, but I'm James the Third.
Whole introduction wasn't you introducing yourself.
This is a film review podcast. We review the films of leading Black actors. We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. All right, so that's what we do.
Bray, he won 2018. He won.
He really did win.
Yeah, I felt like I remembered him.
He won Outstanding Guest Actor in a Comedy Series. He won.
Oh, I felt God, he was from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Wasn't there a whole story where Donald Glover was like,
"Yeah, Donald Glover
was like, yeah, like I want you to do this," and he was like, "I don't know." He's like, "I'm gonna if you do this, like I'll get you an Emmy."
Yeah, I mean, listen, Donald, that's power.
So anyway, this film. Friday After Next is the third in the trilogy. That's the film we're reviewing today, if you couldn't tell. It came out in 2002. It, of course, stars Ice Cube and Mike Epps. As well as returning from... I guess a lot of people returning from the second movie, right? Wait, was John Witherspoon
He was in all
he's
of
in the
them.
First, yeah, he's in the
him,
first.
Him and... what's her name? Who plays the mom?
Anna Marie Horsford.
Yes. Anna Marie Horsford.
Anna Maria.
Oh,
Maria.
Oh, sorry.
Anna Maria Horsford. Yeah, she's in all of them too.
We had the new additions.
She didn't do nothing in this.
Yeah.
Nah, because they only really address her. It's crazy. We'll get to it, but
And this film, it made $33 million at the box office. It cost apparently $10 million to make. It came out. It's a Christmas film, technically. The poster has a little ornament on it. It says "Christmas in the Hood." What else to say about this movie? Oh yeah, didn't do too well on Rotten Tomatoes. Has a 26%.
How much does Next Friday have? Because I feel like
so
I'm
Next Friday
is
so funny. Next Friday, I just looked it up, James. It's made like $58 million. So Next Friday is the highest grossing. Friday made like 27.
Right.
So this is like, so it's technically this didn't do bad, you know?
Right.
Next Friday's Rotten Tomato score is 21%.
Okay, which is lower than what you
just
said.
It's lower
than
26. Yes.
There's nothing in me that believes. Okay. A person who reviewed Friday for Rotten Tomatoes when either one of these movies came out was Black. I like something in me is like the people who are like watching Next Friday who had like can vote or whatever on Rotten Tomatoes probably had no clue.
Friday has a 78%
with like a quart of water or anything,
which is interesting.
Yeah. And I know a lot of, not a lot of people, but I know people who have said to me that they think that Next Friday is funnier than Friday. And I just have to get this out because I was of the school of like Next Friday not being nearly as good as the first Friday. It's hard because I was not judging it from a comedy standpoint. I was more judging it from like I feel like Friday has heart, you know, and like the story is
I mean,
more
Friday
interesting
also has Chris Tucker, and no offense, I like
Tucker,
Mike Epps,
yeah.
but
yeah.
I do think Chris Tucker is funnier in movies generally.
I'm thinking about a specific conversation I had with somebody who said the opposite, who said like, no, but Mike Epps, much better addition to the franchise. And like,
it's a different dynamic.
I think they're just different. Exactly. It feels different to me.
It's so interesting because I felt like I loved, but also I'm older. So like, I remember, you know, Friday. I remember seeing that in theaters versus when I saw Next Friday, I was a little bit older. So I knew Chris Tucker by that point, who was huge. But also I do think Mike Epps fits into the Friday world better. Like he feels of, at least maybe because, you know, clearly Chris has changed since. But like Mike still feels like he's at those cookouts. I don't know. Like right. He just feels like he fits the thing.
Chris Smokey felt like a character. Like this dude is crazy. Like you're like, okay. Yeah. Like this. Yeah. Whereas, you know, Day Day, you're like, oh, that's a dude from down the street or 100%. Whatever. Who, you know, he just feels like
the
that.
I do think how old you were when you saw these movies really kind of influences your opinion. You know, I don't know why I thought of this, but when you said a lot of people think that Next Friday is funnier, it made me think about how I think a lot of people think like Austin Powers 2 is funnier than the first Austin Powers, you know, but it's like
it is.
Well, there you go. But it's like I do
but also but you're right, that's the one I remember the most. Right. Yeah.
But I just feel like anyway, it's just interesting. This is not the first or the second though, this is the third one.
Right. Listen, are we doing initial thoughts?
Why don't? Well, yeah. Like the basic plot of this is, they have to get their Craig and Day Day. They get robbed by a guy in a Santa suit, and he takes their rent money, and so they're trying to get that rent money for the day, and it's just survive another Friday in the hood. There you go.
Survive another. All right, actually.
Yeah, that is it. Yep. Did anybody see this when it came out? Because I would be interested in hearing those initial thoughts.
Yeah, so that's what I'm interested in. Like, I remember working at the theater, having this come out and not liking it. Like, I remember being like, it's fine, but not liking it. But over the years, it has become one of my favorites. And I can't tell if it's because of the Christmas aspect of it. Like, it was my third favorite out of the franchise. And now, it may be my second because nothing can compete to Friday. But I actually really enjoy it because, thinking back to the laughs, I really like Mike Epps' Day Day because he should be cool. He looks cool. But nothing about, like, people literally run over him. I do think this movie's, like, probably mad offensive. I liked Holy Moly Donut Shop. I liked Pimp Down. Like, I liked everything happening with Terry Crews, and I'm just not sure. I'm not sure, and if today, in today's gaze, like, any of that was okay, but I just really found it funny, and I watched Next Friday every Christmas. Like, we watched it last Christmas, Friday after next. It's weird. It's short. I'm here for it, man. Top flight security, Craig, of the motherfucking world.
Yeah. I didn't see it when it came out and wasn't a huge fan. I owned Next Friday on DVD, but wasn't a huge fan of it. And I think when Friday After Next came out, I didn't think I was gonna like it. When I first saw it, which was maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I did like it. Like, and I don't remember if any of the, what's standing out to me right now are the things that are, offensive about it or that they just throw me. They don't offend me, but it was like, oh, I don't know if we should be doing this humor right now. But when I first saw it, I was like, oh yeah, like this, you know, they came up with a story for it, you know, to be around Christmas and like, you know, and they managed to figure out how to keep it going. I think my general issue with Next Friday and Friday After Next is the fact that, like, you know, the stories don't have the same heart or meaning to it as the first one, even though it just feels like the first one, they were trying to make a good movie and the later ones, they were trying to make a good movie in general. And then the later ones, they were just trying to make
sequels.
you know, just like a hard comedy, like the hardest comedy they can make, each one, you know? So like with this one, some of the jokes it just feels like it's like a lot of homophobia. It feels like a lot of like these things that like are, it just feels like they're cheap jokes, you know?
Yeah.
But like, I think the performances are good. Like everyone's so funny. Like all of those guys are funny funny dudes, you know? I wanted more from the mom, because she was such a fun part in the first couple. And then what else? I guess that's it. I mean, like I don't know what else to say besides like,
do you like it or did you, I think I missed it.
I'm coming fresh off of it, right? Literally just finishing it, and like the things that I just don't think that we need to make some of these jokes, yeah. You know, and like, and it feels like some of the jokes feel cheap. So like, I don't like that, you know, I don't, it sort of still in general has the same feeling for me as I compare to like, Next Friday, but in just talking about it as like for what it is, like, yeah, like Cat Williams is being funny. Ice Cube is being, you know, everyone's doing their job, you know, like everyone's doing their job, and I think they're doing it well. It's just like it was hard to watch it from today's lens.
Yeah,
is my fair response. Yeah,
yeah. I had never seen this movie before, so of course I didn't like it. But because I just saw it now, you know. I mean, of course, honestly, right? It's 2021, and this film is from the early 2000s, and I've never saw it.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, here's the thing, and I mean, it is funny because this happens from time to time, and also people get mad at us for like looking at it through today's lens, even though that's kind of part of the podcast. It's about re-examining films and what we watched as, you know, young people, and like, and where the mindset of America was at the time. But like, you know, this is that very of the time black comedy where the jokes are. And I will say, like, their white comedies were like this too. They had this similar like homophobic jokes, rape jokes, fat jokes. You know, it's like the main jokes are like making fun of people, essentially. And that's just what the comedy was at the time. It's harder to laugh at it now, and then it's even harder when there's like barely a story, and they're kind of, and it's a sequel, so it feels like they're playing things up again, you know, for the sequelness of it, you know, and it's like it's so interesting. Like I was watching this, and I was like John Witherspoon, who is so hilarious and funny, is like doing the most John Witherspoon-y acting, you know, like he's playing it up to the, you know, like the most, and I'm like watching it, I'm just like, this is like just like, this is so crazy how we like, this is how certain comedians, like at a point, like this is who you become. You just like, you're known for a shtick, and then you just, people are just like, just do that shtick, like don't try to be a real person, just like do your shtick and play it to the ninth, you know, 10th degree or whatever. But yeah, I mean, like, there are some fun parts in it. I do, like, you know, as much as it was sticky, he's still funny. Cat Williams is funny. You know, I mean, Ice Cube isn't necessarily funny, but, like, he plays well off of other people.
He's a good straight man to, I mean, straight man. But he's, you know, he's a good straight man to Day-Day and stuff.
Yeah, and Mike Epps, like, does, like a pretty good job. I think his character like doesn't make sense. Like we can talk about it, but like there are certain points in the movie, like his POV feels like it changes, you know what I mean? Like based on whatever the scene is that they want at the time. And then, yeah, I mean, like there's essentially three women in this movie, the mom who, like we said, like barely does anything. Then there's like the love interest who I feel like in every single scene, they were like, okay, and just be the most seductive you possibly can while you say lines that have nothing to do with it. Just like really kind of give them sexy, I want to have sex with you eyes every time you speak. And then, you know, and then we have Cookie, who's like, she, I think, gets to have the most fun, you know, of all the characters, but they're also like constantly making fun of her appearance. So, you know, it's a tough watch in 2021.
Yeah,
man, I'm going to say what's so bad about it is that everything you're saying is so true. And again, like, I'm like, these jokes don't fly, but for some reason, man, I don't know what's happening with me personally, but it's like, dog, I was still laughing. Like, I don't, you know what it was? It was one of those things where like, I do know, and I do believe, like, jokes have to change. We have to evolve. But something about it felt so old in a way where it felt like, I don't know, man. It felt like being back home and, like, people cracking on everybody. Like, it didn't matter who you were, what you look like. It's like, no one actually gave a fuck. It was like, I just, hey, nigga, where your eyebrows at? Like, oh. You need to lose. It was just like, right. It didn't matter. Like, there were people who had, like, this kid we had named Yuck Mouth because he needed braces, but he refused to get the braces. And I had braces. So I was like, I used to go at Yuck Mouth. Like, nigga, I've had these braces for 6 years. I don't want these. And, like, it just, yeah. I don't know, man. It felt like, I hate to use the word, but it felt like, and I guess I've been accused of this now in this woke, quote unquote, woke era of, like, being softer or, like, just, like, overanalyzing stuff, but for some reason watching this movie, it just felt like, yo, they don't give a fuck if you think this shit is like offensive. It's like, these are the jokes around the way people are laughing at, so you gonna laugh. Like, it felt like it was made for who it was made for, and I'm just not saying it's okay. It was just, you're right, like, my mind reverted back to, I guess, early 2000s for instead sure. of where it is now. And normally I do critique everything we review when it's old. It's like, man, how the hell can we have a black sister in this junk doing this? But I don't know, man, I don't know.
But I think there's I think there's a lot to be said for that, though. Like, I mean, I think that's very real. I think that's exactly how they would defend this movie if they were at, like, if they were like, if someone, you know, put them, you know, under the mic and they were like, you know, defend Friday After Next, they would say like, yeah, like, it's just they would say exactly what you just said. You know, it's just jokes. We would get on anybody, you know, and it's indiscriminate. Like yeah. If I'm going in on this person, they're going to go in on me. Like, everybody's going to get something, you know, I don't know what then the next part of that is. Like, I don't know if there, you know, if there's a right or wrong to be attributed to that, but I think like, but I think that that's exactly why, I think that that's exactly why, you know, I think it's why it's okay that you were like, yeah, I watch this every year and I love it. And it's funny. And it's like, you know, that's just a part of a culture that you came up around and, you know, and you still sort of relish that, you know, like everybody, we're like, I mean, who knows about the potential psychological damage but that Yuck Mouth might have. Right. But like, but it's like, you know what I mean?
It's
like,
the record, Yuck. Okay. We all had terrible names. Like, I had my nickname was Schmeagle. Okay. To let you know. Schmeagle.
Why Schmeagle?
Is the little alien. Cause
we,
I was like,
we all know who Schmeagle.
At one point when I got to high school, I was super skinny.
Yeah, we know who, you don't have to explain.
I'm letting everybody
Schmeagle
know because they're like, who the hell is Schmeagle?
No.
He was scrawny. He had no hair. He had big eyes.
We know who he is.
That was my nickname. Okay. Everybody used to get it. That's what I was like.
Women. And in this movie, everybody, there's not a single person that doesn't get like a dig of, you know, everyone gets
true.
It.
At the height of my high school career, okay, girls in my school called me Schmeegs, okay? That is letting you know, when you're supposed to be like getting girls to like you, that was where I was.
Schmeegs. At least they shorten it. You know, you weren't just Schmeagle, you were Schmeegs now. It's like, oh, that's the dude. That's Schmeegs, you know?
I've said that out loud since high school. That's crazy. But yeah.
We never let that go. Never let Schmeegs go, bruh.
It was Schmeegs. It was Schmeegs, man. Oh my God. And that was the cool version of it. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But no, Bray, you're right. Like, when I think about Damon, like Terry Crews' character, that character is so utterly offensive. Like, at one point, he is just, when they show him, you know, my son Damon just got out of jail. He gonna come up here and whoop your ass. And then, like, when you see him, they open the door, he's so big and he's so greasy. And he's like touching all over himself. It's just, it's so offensive.
Well, I mean, but for some reason, Day-Day says, this is what I didn't like. Day-Day says, you proud that your son's a, and then he says the F word. And I was like,
yo, it's so
this
crazy.
Is okay.
Cause I blacked that word out. That's, oh my God. That's, again, that's so insane.
It was like, oh.
The
no.
other thing is, man, I'm telling you, wow. There was something about, especially the 90s and the early 2000s, where like male rape was in so many movies.
Yeah, sure.
And I remember one of the, we never filmed this. We never did anything with it. But one of the first sketches I ever wrote was called Male Rape Is Not Funny. And it was commenting on the fact that it's not, but then also like, also being like, I guess it kind of is
doing all the jokes,
yeah, right. But like,
like doing all the jokes while talking, condemning it.
But like, it's just this weird thing where in so many comedies they would have this thing of like, you're gonna get raped. I mean, so much so that they even the freaking they created what's it called, Hard Knock, or what's the
what do you mean, like Scared Straight?
No. I'm talking about Will Ferrell and Kevin Hart.
Get Hard.
Which is like that whole, the whole movie is basically about, you know what I mean? It's like one big.
Yeah, he's trying not to get assaulted in that movie.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. But that's the whole, that's where the comedy always comes from is like, this dude's going to rape you. And it's like, anyway.
In the improv, when they were like, he's going to do something strange to you. And they just keep repeating, do something strange to you. It was just like,
yeah,
but no,
I know. It's so, it's a strange thing. Anyway,
well, I feel like one can, but I think on a deeper level, Bray, like, I think that's so deep. Cause like, I think outside that, I think that kind of stuff, when it happens to dudes, like no one cares. Like even thinking back Coming to America, no one cares. Like the whole genesis of that movie was, Eddie got assaulted and had 100%.
I mean, it is.
It wasn't
that's
a thing.
The comedy is coming from the fact, not to defend these jokes, but like it is coming from the fact that it is so rarely talked about in society. And I guess maybe this should be trigger warnings for this, but like, you know, sexual assault does happen to men as well as women, but like people don't look at. But people don't really want to hear it from men, especially, you know, I mean, and then the other thing is the prison thing of it all, you know, and there's also homophobia linked to it, but it's just like, I don't know. It's just so interesting that so many writers, so many comedic writers at that time were like, man, that this is one of the, it's like a staple joke in so many films. You know what I mean? And yeah, we have a whole character that's dedicated to this in Terry Crews, which is like the playoff of Debo. I mean, that's the other thing that's weird about it is that like we just have a new character, but then they just added this thing to it, you know, Damon.
Yeah. It's almost like a funnier back. It's supposed to be like the funny
villain
version of Debo, I guess, you know. I mean, I will say when he's like, the thing that sucks is that it is so offensive. When you see Terry Crews like, popping and locking and like breathing all hard, I'm like, what? You know, it's sometimes when something's so bad you just laugh. It's like, what is this?
I mean,
like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's a great defense practice.
Then like the woman, his mom kept trying to hit on Day-Day the whole
right.
time,
right? And that's the other thing, and like, she assaulted her father. It's just like a family of assaulters
the whole time. It's like, oh,
like they're
goodness.
Both assaulted.
She's trying to hit on his dad.
Yeah.
Good God.
Anyway, so this movie starts. I was gonna say the other thing about the comedy aspect of this, all this stuff is like, it's not just the fact that the jokes are like quote, like, you know, offensive. It's also like that they're stale, right? Like they're jokes we've been hearing for so long, and then once you like know chemistry of it, and you know the chemistry of it, not even just by being comedian, just by watching several, like a lot of these movies. That's the other part that is like, all right, yeah, we're getting another. You know what I mean? That's the. But mm-hmm. it can't. But when they get creative with it, it could sometimes. It sometimes could still be funny.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Nice.
Now, listen, guys. You know about BetterHelp because we've talked about it here on the show many times. But if you're new and you're like, what is BetterHelp? How's your social battery right now? Let's start with that question. Because I don't know about you, sometimes social gatherings, you know, they start picking up in the spring and the summertime. And it's a lot. It could be a lot to just have to socialize with people because, you know, we went through a pandemic. You know what I mean? We were indoors for a long time.
Yeah. Mine is draining. I have trouble being around. I already had trouble being around people, but now, especially post-pandemic, your boy is struggling.
You know, I found a black male therapist on BetterHelp, actually. Wow. I truly, truly enjoy him because, look, it's been a rough year. Not a rough 2024, but a full year that's only gotten, like, more stressful. So I'm like, it has been a lifesaver to actually have a person you seems helpful with actionable things. Also, because you don't want to be, especially in a social setting, always complaining or like mm-hmm. always downer in the corner. So I just avoid it for the most part.
Yeah. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. I am in therapy as well. Like, it is great for me and just like talking through issues that you can't always talk about with your friends. With BetterHelp, it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/jump today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/jump.
Hi, this is Will Arnett. We are inviting you to follow us as we go on tour and we take our podcast Smartless on the road. Join us and watch any boundaries we previously had disappear. Like you've never seen us before, you'll see us on the road, ordering lunch, roasting each other, and on stage as we surprise each other with a mystery celebrity guest in each city. Boy, that sounds amazing.
Welcome to Smartland!
Don't miss our new series, Smartless on the Road, streaming May 23rd, only on Max. Subscription required.
This episode is brought to you by the new Disney Plus original series, American Born Chinese. Based on the graphic novel by Gene Luen Yang, American Born Chinese tells the story of an average teenager that becomes entangled in a battle with Chinese mythological gods. This star-studded cast includes Academy Award winners Michelle Yeoh and Ke Huy Quan, plus Daniel Wu, Jim Leo, and Ben Wang. American Born Chinese, premiering May 24, exclusively on Disney Plus.
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else. Like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or 5-star hotels for 2-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This movie starts with the Black Santa jumping a gate.
Yes. Who is this? Ricky Smiley? Is that who that is?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Ricky Smiley is in it.
Yes, that's him. He's Santa Claus.
Yes. Yes. I mean, this was. I loved this opening. Just Day Day. Day-Day asleep while Santa is where the milk and cookies and all that.
And Craig getting his ass.
Well, it's just
and
funny.
He's like, I know you ain't sleep. Day.
You know he's what it is?
Ice Cube genuinely asks for help. Like, it sounds like he needs real help, and Day does not get up.
I think the reason again, the movies, it does have problems. But I think the reason I like what they evolved Craig into, which people probably hate, but I like the fact that they aren't tough. Like, they should be. Like, everything about Craig should be tough. Like, Craig knocked out Debo, but when they talk about it in retrospect, it was like, luck.
Well, he you know fights. What I mean? He fights. Like, he needed Santa, that brick. You know, and he gets a couple punches in and stuff, and then he just gets the drop. He just, you know, the Santa takes a Christmas tree and beats him with it.
I just love hearing him. I just love hearing him beg for help, because it's like, this is the dude who walked in to a record label with a bat and like smashed the whole place up and just walked out. You know what I mean? Like, it's just something about how it felt like having a dude who is that black masculine, still be masculine, but also like now funny and like getting his ass whooped, but still like trying to get it done. I don't know. I feel like you rarely see shit like that. Even now, I feel like you rarely see, outside of Kevin Hart, who wants to be tough, the person who should be, but not. So that's why I like
them. Right. It was fun to see this fight happen. I don't know what kind of dog this dog is that doesn't wake up when a full-on fight with, like, tables being broken and a tree getting stuck, and this dog is still sleeping. I was like, this is the most useless dog in the world.
Both the dog and Day-Day stayed in bed.
That is so funny. And then we get the cops.
Yeah, it was funny when he was, like, talking. He was like, oh, you should have seen, like, I was hitting this guy. Like, he's talking to the cops, like, he was sleeping the whole time. He's just lying to the cops. And then these cops are also terrible, but you know, that's played for the fun of it, and they just want some weed.
Yeah, they take the weed stuff. Oh man! And then that's when we see the landlord come in, blaming them for everything.
She's got a little bit of hair on her. You know, it's shaped up, and they keep talking about it.
Look, man. Yeah, they kept going at her mustache. Look, man, this movie is very juvenile. Look, it's juvenile.
It is.
Okay?
Juvenile.
It was juvenile.
It's very juvenile.
But it's
because there's no real setups. You know what I mean? Like, the setups are you got to pay this rent, or my son, who's back home, is gonna come rape you.
My thing is, where is DJ Pooh at? Because DJ Pooh and Ice Cube wrote that first movie. And I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah.
Saying,
only Ice Cube.
Was DJ Pooh the reason?
Ice Cube by himself.
Who did this? He did it by himself. He did this by himself.
Which I will say, when I saw that,
wrote
I was like,
oh, Next cool. Friday by himself.
Oh, did he?
I think he wrote Next anymore. Friday by himself, too, though.
I think.
Oh, there you go.
He did.
Yeah, it's just like, was DJ Pooh out here being like, listen, we got to... I don't know. I can't put it all on DJ Pooh. I'm just saying it was different before. And I don't know what was different about it.
One of the last things DJ Pooh has written was in 2010, T-Pain had a special that aired on Cartoon Network called Freaknik the Musical. Oh. I've never seen this, but trust and believe, I have to go find Freaknik the Musical. But yeah,
who directed this?
You know, it's so interesting because I just come on, Bray, why are you doing it?
Oh, sorry.
His name.
Why are you doing
is
it?
Marcus Raboy.
Okay, Steve Carr directed Next Friday. So they didn't even have the same director. They had three different directors.
Damn.
Wait a second.
This is the dude that did the Fresh Prince documentary.
Wait,
among a million other things, mad music videos.
It's funny because there's so many music videos. I couldn't tell if this was like one of those, what's it called? Pseudonyms for like a fake director.
Marcus
Raboy. You know, like some of the, like, yeah,
that's
thought
not
it was
too many. But that's not too many music videos.
Oh, I just looked and saw his filmography, and it was like 1991 through like now. Goodness. And it didn't have anything listed. It just had the years. And I was like, is this a real person?
There's so many TV specials. This guy's directed so much. much, but very few movies. What movies has he directed after other than this one?
He's also very white.
Yes, he's very.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's white.
That happens a lot sometimes. You look at stuff and you're like, oh, interesting. I thought the
team. My man did Real Love. I love that video.
He's white, and I think the guy who directed Next Friday is also white. That's another thing. All right, you don't think about that. Because F. Gary Gray did Friday.
Damn, I didn't know the other guy was white.
Steve Carr?
Interesting.
I mean, I'm just assuming he's white based off his name. Yep, he is. Steve Carr. I mean, like, come on. That's very few black guys named Steve Carr.
Well, after we get the intro, we don't even see Damon yet. We just hear about him, I think. And then that's when the next day is when they go get their jobs as security guards. Top flight security of the world.
They actually say that they're going to start their jobs today and they're going to have the rent money tonight, which I don't understand how that works at all. But that's what they're going to do.
Well, they were going to ask for an advance.
Check advance?
Yeah, pay us for the week, but now. I don't know. Yeah. I've never heard of a job that started on Christmas Eve.
I know.
I was like, this job, you guys are starting on Christmas Eve?
Well, you know, in La La Land, Ryan Gosling got fired on Christmas Eve. Yeah. And he was like, happy holidays. You know?
It's rough.
In Gremlins, they're in school on Christmas.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
Or on Christmas Eve.
That also
Eve,
doesn't
something
make
like
any
that.
Sense.
That's crazy.
Nope, makes no sense.
I mean, it's so funny because even think about this movie, it's like when they go to the guy who owns, I guess, the complex and is, you know, holy moly, like that character is so offensive. Like it's so, oh my God, why are we reviewing this movie? Yeah. Stop
Wait,
this.
The character who owns Holy Moly, because he's like
Holy Moly Donut Shop.
Yeah, he's just like, he's like, he's
and
not
that's
even.
Boss Jabrani.
I'm trying to understand what stereotype it is exactly. It's like, Arabic or just like East, like Southeast Asian. Like I couldn't tell exactly who he was supposed to be, but you know, I mean, they didn't say. It's funny because they didn't say anything. I feel like they didn't say money like racist things to him. It was just like him as a character. You know,
yes.
He was just doing a thing. But to be fair, that's. Everybody in this movie. Right? I mean, there are blacks there. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, there's like,
yeah,
they're all kind of playing freaking, other than, I guess, Ice Cube.
But that's also part of what's hard about it, too, because when you think about what the comedians do, not necessarily Maz, but what those same comedians do when they perform live, it's like, yeah, this is their shtick almost. Yeah. You know, it's like, so, you know, and they have sort of made these personas. Famous. It's why we know them as comedians. So it's like as much as I want to be like, I didn't like this. It's like, well, what? I don't know if I was going to expect something else, you know, from specifically
this actor. I thought he did a good job.
I did too. Hey, buddy.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy.
It's going to be good, buddy.
Yeah, he's great.
His hand motions. The donuts have flies all in the screen. I mean, but you're right, James. It's like, in the context of the movie, everyone is playing their parts like this. Even when we finally get to Cat Williams, when he appears. I mean, Cat Williams is a little pimp. Like, he's a, like, you know.
Fawn.
This is
cartoon.
The most pimp.
Pimp. He's literally
he
a pimp named Slipback.
Pimp.
He really, he is.
Yeah, I think it, like,
he is a
is
literal cartoon in this film.
It's funny because I think they were like, hey, man, he did that character too good. And they just wrote.
I think so, too. I think they saw Friday After Next. They're like, well, like, obviously, we got to get Cat Williams into a pimp.
Yo, and it's crazy because he has little moments that are funny. But I do think it does a little bit where, especially if you look at like Cat Williams in this movie, pimps are always seen as like, the big, like, I'm about to smack somebody, like, I gotta do this and that. But, like, Kat is a little dude who gets stuck by a mannequin at one point and goes, like, you know, stuck between a pimp and a hard place. It's like, it almost is poking fun at what we believe Pimps to be. Like, he's not tough in any way, but he wants to. I don't know. I think his
second or third line is like, and this is my lady, and he introduces the lady, and then Day Day starts talking
to her
a little too much. And he's like, okay, that's enough.
That was funny.
Slowly pulls her back.
I mean, oh no, man. Those characters are so interesting. And then, Bray, like, you're right when you talk about like his love interest, like she is only there. Just like the woman from the second one. At least Nia Long, damn. Nia Long definitely had a purpose. Man, you're right. The heart was gone after the first one. Damn.
Well, yeah,
y'all ruining this franchise for me.
I mean, sequels. The most sequels are like this, where they're just trying to cash in on the first one, but like, there's nothing else. There's no new story to tell, so they're just telling the same story, and that story keeps getting watered down to its like base parts, and like it's also now it's like not even about the story. It's like James said, it's just a hard R comedy, and they're just making jokes, you know. And it's like, there's like, we have to have a story because it's a movie, you know. So like, it needs to be tied together, and so it's still loosely kind of certain similar things of like, okay, we need some money. There's a dude who's like got out of prison who we're trying to avoid. There are other people we're running from, and there's a girl that we like. You know what I mean? Like, but at the end of the day, it's like.
Mm.
You know, it's like it's nothing. I'm sorry. I know a lot of people love this movie.
Yeah,
I mean, I still like it. It's just like one of those things where it's like, again, to me, it's one of those things where like, if I do have a hard time now, where like I do believe like, again, jokes should be smarter, it should be more clever, but I do struggle when it's like, who can get it at this point? Like, if I'm taking shots at myself, other people, like, when is it okay to like start going on folks? Like, that's what I was brought up doing. It was like, yo, you had to defend yourself if you were tall. Like, again, my nickname was Schmeagle and Schmeeks. Like, the other dude's name was Yuckmouth. We had another dude who was named Sticks. It's like, does it have to be like people in the community are making the joke? Like, for instance, if Terry Crews was queer, would his character have been okay? Because I've seen like, and if you watch the Sam J specials, like Sam J is queer and she says like reckless stuff, and people still come at her for saying it, even though she's a part of that. I'm just very curious of like, when is it okay to?
Well, one is I don't know that I can like make like, I don't know if I'm the person to decide when it's okay, you know.
Let us all know.
But
he said, I am
and I should. That's why I have a microphone. but I do think it's sort of that thing of like, I think at the end of the day it's more like listening when that criticism comes up, you know? So it's like, I was thrown by a lot of the humor in this, not necessarily thrown like, oh, I can't believe they're making this joke, but more like, oh, I wasn't expecting that right now. And oh, I probably would have laughed at this before, but I don't find these things funny anymore, you know? And so it's sort of like, when the criticism arises, listening to it and like, really, if you have a strong enough justification for the humor and you feel like your humor is not like it's just punching down or it's just for the sake of XYZ, then that is when it's okay, right? But like, but if you sort of have this, I would hate for the justification for this movie to just be like, well, funny is funny. It's like, well, but I wasn't laughing. So then is that true? Is that still true? You know?
Yeah.
So that's how I see it.
I mean, it's such a complicated issue. I will say in regards to this movie, the way that I feel about it is like a lot of humor is like shock humor. It's like, oh, this is so bad that you're laughing because you're uncomfortable, you know? And I think that there's times and places for that, but like when it's all you have, it feels cheap and it feels like lazy to me. Because anybody can do it. You know what I mean? Like anybody, it doesn't feel smart, and it also doesn't feel like it doesn't even feel intentional outside of just like filling like a Mad Lib of like crude R comedy of like we can make these certain jokes or whatever. But and it becomes, like I said, to me it becomes stale because I see it over and over again. Like by the time this movie came out, we've seen that joke that they're doing with Terry Crews. You've had to have seen it at least a dozen times in other comedies, if not more than that. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so old that it feels like, and it's like, I can still laugh at certain times because it's like, it is uncomfortable. But then it's also like, if it's like, but then I'm like, well, I don't know. You can still do it. It's just like, if people don't like it, people don't like it. And I feel like most people wouldn't like it. You know what I mean? Like, and that's kind of my thing is like, you know, we can have a larger conversation about like how much it actually hurts society by doing these jokes or like this and or like how much, you know, quote unquote punching down like can hurt the people that you're punching down, like those marginalized groups and all that stuff. I think those are larger conversations, but just creatively to me, I'm just like kind of boring. You know? That's how I feel about it. But I don't know. I mean, it's tough anyway, but this movie, look, it was definitely of its time. I think at the end of the day, like the people who liked it still liked it. And yet there's a reason it didn't do that great at the box office, you know, like it, or as good as the next Friday or probably other films of its time. It's because like, yeah, it's not doing anything that new and you're not really getting much outside of those jokes. You're kind of like, every now and then you get surprised by like something Cat Williams or Mike Epps says, like in their improv, or, you know, but yeah, anyway. I'm trying to think of like what are the parts where you guys laughed out loud? You know what I mean?
I laugh at the Terry Crews Cat Williams scene,
like when he
every time.
Like the whole scene or like which part of the-
like at one point it's the sound effects. It's like once he goes in the room and it is bad, but like when Kevin goes and he like wakes up, like I like when my fish or something on my
squirmy.
He's squirming. He's like, and he just, and it's not funny. It's not funny because I get it. But when he's just like, his high pitch goes, "I'm a boy," and he's like, clearly that's. It's almost like he just doesn't understand. It's like he doesn't understand what's happening, and it's just like the back and forth, and then him getting the nuts, and all of a sudden, like that is just, like,
yeah,
I don't know, man. And it's seeing Terry Crews run down the street with the vice grip on his nuts. I'm like, it's so dumb, but it's such a visual. It's like, why is this happening? Like, it doesn't make sense. But yes, are you saying, James?
Well, yeah, I can't remember how that scene hit me the first time, but I couldn't, this time I was like, oh. Like, when he was...
I get it.
When Cat Williams was on the wall screaming, like, we're not in prison anymore, whatever it was that he said, I was just like... Oh my God. I can't even believe this scene was shot. They was edited. I'm just saying that I just want to say one more time that I was like, oh yeah, Friday After Next. Let's do Friday After Next. I really feel like when I first watched this, not 4 years ago, I was like, huh, this movie was better than I thought it was going to be. Like, I really think that was my genuine reaction to seeing Friday After Next the first time. And that is not that long ago. So it's not even like, I don't know what state of mind I was in when I saw it. Or maybe I erased some of this stuff. maybe, right? Maybe it is because of that. But like, I could not watch it today. I was like,
the
wow.
Other thing about it, I think the other inherent funny device within it is that when we first see Cat Williams' pimp character, he's very high and mighty. It's like his character believes he's very high status. He's treating this woman very poorly, right? So it's like, so the comedy of it is to see this person with such high status all of a sudden find themselves in a place where they're like, uh-oh, I'm low status now. I'm scared. Like, I'm in danger, you know, and I was the one putting people in danger, kind of. I mean, they play that throughout the whole thing with him, right? Like, he gets, he gets knocked over and there's a mannequin on him, but like, he comes out with the knife. Like, he still, like, he keeps playing with that. It's just the reality of the situation. It's like you have to divorce yourself from the reality of what the scene is actually about, you know, because you're like, am I supposed to laugh at the fact that I think this man is about to get raped? Like, is that the is that what's funny? And it's like, no, that's not funny, but like, but the movie, but I don't know that the movie doesn't believe that that's funny.
But the movie might not even be,
I think the movie believes that it is funny, you know, like,
Here's the thing that also threw me too. I mean, I know you asked us to start talking about things that we laughed at, but this watch was very, it's also like, it was like, I'm tired. I didn't sleep much last night. And like, got up early, watched the movie. Like this all, it's all about my state of mind. Right. Too. But another thing that I remember thinking it, when the trailer came out, it's so funny. This was in every trailer and every TV spot and every whatever. You know, it's so funny. It makes you smack your mama, and then he smacks his mama. You know, just slaps her across the face. Like that was in every trailer. Watching it this time, when they cut to the mom in real life outside of the trailer, and she's like twitching and stuff, I was like, oh no! Like I don't want to see this battered.
What got me was the slap was like, okay, this is a slap. It's literally slapstick comedy, and that was whatever. But then, when we have another scene and she's like cooking and then she's flinching because
that's what I'm talking about.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
When she's flinching, I was like, well, that's not funny. I was like, that's not funny. I was like, this is sad. What? Yeah, it's like you really slapped her and now she has PTSD and she's flinching. Like she thinks you're going to keep hitting her. I'm like, that's horrible. And but then you laugh because it's like so bad. It's like, it's so messed up. But that's when that's all it is. It just feels, I don't know. It's rough. I don't know.
No, man.
It was hard. But wait. But there were things that I thought, I generally thought, Cat Williams was funny. I thought it was funny when what's his name? What's the Day Day's dad's name?
DC. I think it's the real actor's name.
Cut all this up.
DC
Curry. Don Elroy. Uncle Elroy. There's like, he had little bits of like, you know, like, yeah, I hope the Santa come around here, and then they immediately get jacked, and he's doing nothing, you know, like stuff like that.
Do you
that.
Think that was a real gun?
Fun. No, right? There's think, no way. That's so. Why they wrapped it.
You never saw that it was fake, which was interesting to me. I thought it was. I thought at a certain point we were going to see that it was fake or not real, but then we never did. And I was like, huh.
Oh, so you thought the Santa had a real one?
No, not that I didn't think he had a real one because we never see it again. And if he did have a real one, when they jump him in the house, I feel like he would have went for it. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I just thought it was weird that we didn't see it in the scene that it was fake. Just felt like they were going to show that and they didn't. Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, good point.
Right. No, yeah, you're right. I was like, oh yeah, it's probably gonna be a fake. It's probably a fake gun. They're gonna show. I had the same thought. That's so weird that they don't go back to it.
I thought
the pinky callback was funny. Like when they pinky hits the Santa and he fully rolls across the he rolls across the whole stretch limo like that.
Yo, Pinky is
that's they hang on that roll for so long. It's like ridiculous.
I'll tell you the part
long.
Where I literally laughed out loud. It's when the guy when they jump to Santa in his place, and then he escapes and he jumps to jump out the window, and he just hits it. The window doesn't break, and he just hits it and falls down. That was so funny to me. And I was like, I think the biggest laugh I had in the whole movie, because I fully expected him to break through that window, and he didn't break through it. And I was like, that's hilarious.
Oh man,
and that's a basic joke, but that was funny.
Man, I can't. I try to think of any like favorite moments, but
it was very cartoony.
I mean,
let me tell you my.
Favorite moment when I was a kid, and this is not a funny moment, and it's probably like a really sad moment. But I remember being in love and so jealous. Let you know my childhood of Sean on Boy Meets World. Because later on in the later season, Sean started dating this beautiful black woman. And I was like, man, it's some bullshit. And at the end of this movie, she appears for no random reason. It's like, one, I'm pretty sure that's her. As like one of like, is she like a stripper or one of like cats?
What's his
women?
Pinky brings in a couple of strippers.
Oh, maybe Pinky. Maybe it's Pinky. Let me find it. I think that might be her. And I remember being like, I love this movie, but why is she doing this? And feeling really sad. But I could be wrong. You guys keep going. Sorry. Let me keep looking.
Yeah. Pinky brings in Cinnamon, Boys. Moet, Boys. And Lollipop.
Those names are great.
Wow. Cinnamon, Moet, and Lollipop.
I mean,
Moet.
Oh, it's Moet or Moet?
Moet.
That's her name is Moet. Look at that.
Genius. That's genius.
Come on, man. Exactly. That's
I thought Reggie Gaskins was funny. The black cop, I thought he was funny. Like he like all his like little
Also Chris.
She was Cinnamon. I know I wasn't crazy. Sorry.
Chris Williams was in this. He was in Silicon Valley. And also Curb Your Enthusiasm. You guys know Chris Williams. That light skinned dude.
Yes. That's Vanessa Williams' brother, right?
Oh.
I think that's Vanessa Williams' brother.
I mean, sounds right to me.
Wow. I mean, guys, look.
Oh, this guy. Yep.
Yeah, he's been in a bunch of things.
Yep.
You know, listen, guys, I get it, okay? I get it. Some movies don't stand the test of time. I get it.
But it's, I it's hard because like, it's hard for me to put to be like, oh, I don't think you should like this.
I'm not saying,
especially if you're coming from the place you were describing earlier, Drive. Like, yeah, like, you know, everybody gets it. And, you know, it feels like, you know, just feels like back when we were all, everybody was roasting everybody. Like, yeah, like that.
I will say, you know, just based off what our podcast is, I will say this is though the type of movie that it felt like Hollywood was okay with black people making and wanted them to make. You know what I mean? It was like,
yeah,
make these movies where there's a bunch of black stereotypes in it. And you know what I mean? And you guys are like, it's like that. That's the thing. Like there. And
it felt like modern day blaxploitation almost.
Yeah, like, and there's a little bit every now and then, you know, again, no offense to this movie or people who like it, but every now and then I did feel a little bit like, is this a little bit of coonery? Just a little bit?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I was like, it feels like it a little. Like, every now and then I was like, oh, this doesn't feel great.
Just a little bit of coonery. Just a little bit.
You know, it's tough because it's like I want people to be able to enjoy this and screw, you know, white supremacy for making us, first of all, have these stereotypes. And like, it's like all this stuff is like, it's still playing off of people's real lives, right? Like people's real experiences. I mean, it's heightened, crazy heightened versions of them, but it's like, this is that. And so there's nothing to be shameful about. And yet when it's the only type of movie that like people were getting chances to do, did Terry Crews want this to be his first big role? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, you know, like, but like it's what he had to do. You know what I mean? It's just like, that's the, I do think about that kind of stuff of like, did, like, I think Chris Williams is like a pretty good act. Like, he feels like somebody who could do Shakespeare, you know, and in this movie, mm-hmm. he's like playing, you know, just like a person who's like kind of homeless and like trying to steal and like has one, like a missing tooth and is like, ah, blah, blah, you know, like doing a crazy accent. So like, I just look at that kind of stuff and I'm like, oh, that hurts a little.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that.
But again, that's not to take away from the fun of this. I did think,
is it not?
I really did. I just had to say, because I was thinking about it when I was watching it. And I, like I said, there's no nostalgia for me with this movie. I didn't see it, you know? So I will say, this movie's only an hour and 22 minutes, and that feels really great.
Top.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, look, I don't have too much to say. I think you're right. I think the scary part about this is that as Black people, there is a hard line between being silly and what we consider as coonery. And I think, you know, because we're always trying to, or not speaking of everybody, but we always want to try to put our best foot forward, since the world doesn't treat us like that. When we see moments like this, even if this movie was in the hood, even a little bit sillier, like, I even think about how people truly talked about Chris Tucker's character. Like, people wasn't banging with Smokey like that. Like, not the super elites, yeah. Not the ones who are like all this character does is smoke weed and try to get high. Like, I mean, Chris Tucker literally, while we're recording this previous week was doing an interview with someone, and he said he's one of the main reasons he stopped doing Smokey is because he didn't want to be the guy that got Black people high. Like, he didn't want to be that dude because he didn't want
Black people to be. I remember that at the time. Like, I remember that he wasn't coming back at the time for that reason. And it was infuriating because the role was so funny and he did such a great job. Like,
even the crazier part is, like, this Black dude doesn't want to be kind of the face or promote, at least at the time, that Black folk can get high. Whereas, like, you had Cheech and Chong, you had, like, I mean, Seth Rogen and James Franco are like known to be weed heads. And like, these other races can do it, but Black folks, we can't, because if we do it, that's the picture of the entire race. You know, like, Black people are supposed to smoke weed and be in the hood, but like, Obama is an outlier. You know, it's like, that kind of stuff sucks to me because it's like, when do we get to really have fun? And I know, again, this thing had a lot of problems, but it's just like, how do we do it? Like, think about it. If you had a Black person, I think Nori said this on Twitter, and he's always like, yo, I just want to be like the Black Will Ferrell, like a part of that crew. But like, I'm not sure we could have a Black person specifically who could be that silly or that much of an imbecile in movies. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not sure you could have like a Ricky Bobby and like have a Black dude be Ricky Bobby, because until a quarter through that movie, Ricky Bobby is an idiot. You know what I mean? Like, he is a downright idiot, but we love it. Step Brothers. I don't know if we can do that. Like, I just don't know if we're allowed to be that incompetent because the world treats us so crappy on a regular basis that all we can be is extraordinary. And then even that has a downfall to it, because now you're just like the Black person that doesn't do any wrong. But you know, this movie tried to do something. So Hollywood, I don't know how to fix it. That's literally every project we write or pitch. It's like, how do we do that without offending people, but letting you know you can have a good time too. I don't know. Hollywood has burned me so much. I don't know how to fix it. Well, technically it's America, so I don't know. But
okay. Yeah. So here's what I feel like. Here's what I feel like should have happened. Okay. I just feel like this would have been real dope, right? If like, so it's the scene when the gang of dudes that robbed the plate or like did whatever they did to the last security guards are chasing after Craig and Day Day, and then, you know, and then they push Cat Williams out the way and he falls underneath the mannequin and he's like, oh, I'm, you know, pimp in a hard place, pimp down 32. He's doing all that, right? while that's happening. But then, like, he can't get out, but we need him to get out. And then all of a sudden, we just hear, I got your back. I got your back. Money, Mike.
Money Mike. Who's Money Mike?
Who's talking? Right. I'm Money Mike. What you talking? Who's talking to me? I can't see you. I'm stuck underneath a pimp. And then
it's me, Steel. You got to turn around. Just turn your head to the side. Okay, here, I'm coming.
And then he walks over to him, and then he lifts the pimp off of him. Okay. Then he helps him up. He like kind of dusts him off, and then he's like, "Do you want to play a game of basketball?" And then they play basketball together.
I was just waiting for this to hear if you're gonna do like Shaq, then Cat. I thought you were gonna have a dialogue with yourself. That's what I was
gonna
for.
Maybe do a scene, but then I was like, I ain't gonna why try to do that. Right? That's gonna be too. Together. It's the end of the. It's, because no, because then that would be like a cool little scene where it's like a crossover. All right, well,
thank
Friday
you, James.
After next,
okay. James, we appreciate
and Steel.
We appreciate that.
So you open Google Chrome on your phone. You're hunting for a super rare first edition vinyl of a band you're obsessed with when you're supposed to be working. But this site you tapped on seems pretty shady. And Daryl from IT just jumped up from his desk. Oh no, he's coming your way. It's a good thing built-in malware protection keeps you safe and sound. Not from Daryl, though. Sorry. There's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
At Kroger, we know the minute a tomato is picked off the vine, the fresh timer starts. The sooner we get our produce to you, the fresher it is. That's why we've completely overhauled our process to shorten the time from harvest to home for our tomatoes, strawberries, and salads. Because we know how much you love fresh produce, we give you more time to enjoy your tasty fruits and veggies at home. So whether you're shopping in-store, picking up, or prefer delivery, we're committed to bringing you the freshest produce possible. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week, we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week, and quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live.
Yep, it's time for the cause. We rate and review not right. based on how much we like them. Whether they help the cause of more leading black actors in Hollywood. Feels like film fully helps the cause, we give it a black fist. Someone helped the cause, we give it a white palm. If it doesn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. Count of three, okay. We gotta raise our hand.
Shit.
Okay.
All right.
This sucks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sure.
Yep.
One.
Mm-hmm.
Two. Three.
No!
Uh-oh! Look!
No!
Draw, look! Do it!
No, I can't!
All right.
I can't!
You're giving it nothing. Wait, James, what did you give?
How are you? I gave it a palm.
And I gave it a fist.
Oh, sorry, you could. Yeah. Gave it a palm.
How did this happen? How? Oh. Look, man.
Draw, how did you give it
because,
nothing after
because,
everything you've been saying?
Because when I think about it, this movie was supposed to help. Like, I thought about not whether I liked it, but did it help? To me, yes, Cat Williams is in there, Terry Crews is in here, but like, to me, Cat was already a stand-up that like people kind of knew. I guess the majority of people didn't. So I feel like Cat would have been fine either way. But it's hard because it does, when Braylock, it's because of what Braylock just said at the end, because this movie plays into stereotypes in a way that I'm not even sure like people around the way like would be okay with it. It felt like, I'm not big on when the joke is on the people, like the stereotype. Like, if, again, Cat Williams' character is pretty cool to me because like I do think they take that pimp and kind of like work it in a different way, but everything else, it feels so kind of offensive that I don't know how to justify in 2021 that is okay, even though we learned who Cat Williams and Terry Crews is. I don't know. I'm so torn. How do you give it a fist, Bray? What?
Go ahead, Bray. I'll say this.
It doesn't really make any sense that I gave it a fist. Because even though I was gonna be like, well, Terry Crews and Cat Williams, but like both of them don't really get to lead movies. Even if we can argue that this film helped, but I guess I just I just feel like, you know, Mike Epps too, even though he was also in Next Friday. I don't know. It just feels like it has so many black people in it. Like, even though this movie wasn't great and it has all these stereotypes or whatever, I do feel like people thought of these Friday movies. I mean, for a black comedy about the hood to have two sequels, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Feels yeah. successful yeah. in a certain way. And it's like, and even though this movie didn't do great, it still didn't, like, it wasn't a complete bomb. So it's like, I don't know. I feels like maybe it helped out.
Yeah, I think it's inarguably a successful black franchise. You know, like, it, the first one didn't make as much money as the second one, but it's very highly regarded. The second one made a ton of money comparatively. And the third one still made more money than its budget. And it's like, yeah. okay, great. Like this is a successful black franchise. I think, you know, more roles for these comedians who are all so good in their own solo right, you know, is great. And then the only reason I didn't give it a full fist is because of my issues with the way, I guess maybe what I feel like is being represented. It can be a little dicey when you pick it apart, mm-hmm. which is what we just did. So so yeah, like I don't know that it doesn't deserve a fist, but that's why I was in the middle.
All right, well, hey,
I'm
there
sorry.
You go. No, I mean, I think this rating makes sense. thank you.
I tried to defend it. They had real answers.
Thank you all
y'all.
For listening.
This is tough.
And
this
then
is tough.
Steel, and then Steel and Cat, you know, because Cat Steel is so much taller
James,
than Cat.
James, focus.
So then there's just like, there are all these
you can
bits
follow
about
us at Blackman Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackmanPodcast.com is our website. We got links to merchandise like t-shirts and iPhone cases and pillows. I mean, stickers. Check it out.
Okay.
TeePublic. Also, we have a defunct Patreon. We don't do new episodes on it anymore. We probably never will. probably never will. You know, $5 to listen to the episodes that are on there. You can unsubscribe anytime you want. Also, if you rate and review us, give us 5 stars on iTunes. We'll read your review on the air. Kevy, awesome podcast. Oh, wait, I think I read that one too, didn't I? 5 black stars.
Okay, where the stars at?
Wow.
Where the 5-star reviews.
Yeah, we
at.
Need more.
We out here.
Give us more 5-star reviews. All right.
Please, please.
All right, y'all.
What we need to do. What you need from us.
We got another holiday movie coming
please?
Up. Nah, mean.
Yes.
Nah,
next week, we're going to review The Perfect Holiday.
Yes.
And you might be saying, didn't you review that? No, we reviewed The Last Holiday.
Ah, see,
not
there it
the
is.
Perfect holiday.
See, there it is. Don't get it twisted.
Don't get it twisted.
Don't get it twisted.
This is terrible. This is terrible.
Gerard, don't get it twisted.
Hey,
oh
baby.
My goodness, The Last Holiday, The Best Man Holiday.
Yeah, we also reviewed The Best Man Holiday and The Last Holiday. And now we're reviewing The Perfect Holiday.
Now, I'm going to do
Almost Christmas. This Christmas.
Oh, no.
Stop. Madea's right. Christmas.
See y'all later. See y'all later. Bye.
Last Christmas. Last Christmas. Is that?
We haven't
black?
Done that one
Melissa,
yet.
Cut
we gotta
off.
Do it. All right. See you
Melissa,
next week.
Melissa, cut
him
off.
Peace.
Forever. Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Produced by Melissa D. Montz. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcast on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.
Oh.
What's up, Black Men Can't Jump comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!